Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Sarah, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to hear your story, but first I have to find out, how did you first find Organize 365?
Oh, it's a long story, so I'll make it really short. January of 19, Marie Kondo, I think that's her name. Yeah. She did a Netflix series and my husband and I binged watched it because it's January and we live in Wisconsin, so it's cold. So we just watched that and he's like, let's do it. And I'm like, let's do it. So we started and we did great. We got rid of hundreds of books and thousands of stuff and hundreds of pieces of clothes. It was awesome. We got to paper. No, it didn't work. I had 13 file cabinets full of paper. And she said, get rid of it all. And I'm like, that's not realistic. And so a friend of mine, I mentioned that to her. And she's like, oh, you need to listen to 365. She has a paper solution. Seriously, that's what she said. And so I said, okay. So I looked you up and I listened to you all the time for weeks. And I started in on those file cabinets. We now have 7 binders. No, we have our taxes and our mortgage papers in one drawer in a desk.
And that's it?
That's it.
Okay. There's like so much to unpack here.
Yes.
So first of all, who's the friend who told you about me? Because I want to say thank you.
Diane Bolin. And Diane, she is a member.
Thank you.
Yeah. And she's also, we've been doing this journey. So we did Sunday Basket together. We did the Friday Workbox. She and I went all access right around the same time. If one of us misses the Sunday Basket, the other one contacts and is like, how is you doing on your Sunday Basket? Like, what's going on? Sometimes we do a Sunday Basket, like on a Tuesday, if we know both of us are crazy. We both were homeschool moms, and that's how we knew each other.
Oh, so great. Okay, so you did the Marie kind of like you watched it and you and your spouse went and you did it. Like, that is so cool. So what is the best thing that you took from doing that and that you and your spouse bought in together at the beginning is so huge. So many people in Organize 365, like one person gets on board and then the other one comes along later. But I am noticing more and more people jumping in together. Can you talk to that?
Oh, that was huge because you always tell us don't declutter someone else's belongings. And then you have like maybe half of a house that is someone else's belongings. And so the house really never, ever fully gets decluttered. And he was at that point where he listened to that and he's like, oh, there's lots of things in this house that don't bring us joy. And your stuff doesn't bring me joy. And I'm like, well, your stuff doesn't bring me joy. So it was good that we did that. And so I went through all of my clothes and I did do the, 100% empty, which don't do that. Do it Lisa's way. And then we did his clothes and then the boys were like, well, we want to do our clothes. And so both boys joined in on that. And my daughter has since joined in also doing her house that way. And so it's been really good. Like we even hit the garage together and went through things. And then in February of 2020, we decided to move out of our house of 23 years. And we did it again. So then we went back through the house as we were packing it up and emptying each room and then painted it and got it staged. And we did that for all of February, March, April, and May. We listed the house.
That's actually good timing. I mean, you're home anyway.
So. Yeah, exactly. We were home. Good and timing. I said, so when the pandemic hit, I said, oh my gosh, we need a project. We need a project that will give us something to do in this house. Yeah. And oh, we can declutter and move. And so we did that. And simultaneously, we listed our long-term rental, which was next door, a duplex. So we got that house ready and painted and everything done. And listed that house. And so we basically sold 2 houses within a week of each other, had 2 closings within 10 days of each other. and moved to a new house. And so I had three separate boxes, one for each contract, one for each of the three different contracts. And so as I found things, as we were decluttering and moving, I'd find stuff and be like, oh, that's for that house. Oh, that's for that house. And I would just put it in the box. And then as we got contracts, we put it in the box. And as we got inspections, I put it in the box. So I had three Sunday baskets for all those contracts.
Okay. Well, tell me about this spouse. Tell me about these kids. You said you've been a homeschooling mom. So who are the people who lived in the house with you?
Yes. So I have a husband of 37 years, 38 years this year. Thank you. We have weathered a lot and we are still, you know, still like each other. So that's good. So he works from home, still works from home. We'll never go back to an office after the pandemic. And then I have a 31-year-old daughter who lives in Indiana and is married. And we don't get to see her as much as I would like. You know, the pandemic kind of changed that. And then our son, Benjamin, lives with us and he's 26 and he is an AutoCAD designs kitchens and bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. So he's a computer. Is he a geek or a nerd? I'm not sure which one, probably both. And then Ken, who helped me with all this setup, he is 22. He just had a birthday. He's 22 and he is currently on disability. He had an accident in 21 and became a recent amputee.
Oh, wow.
And so that kind of changed. You talk about those unexpected life experiences, unexpected life.
Yep. Yep.
And so that was ours in April of 21. Mm-hmm. And so he's here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good. That's a good period at the end of that sentence, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the same age as Joey and he's in audio engineering too, right? We're going to have to get these guys together.
I agree. We're going to have to get Joey and Ken together. One's going to do audio, one's going to do video, and they're just going to take the
perfect
world over.
Perfect. I'm all for this scenario. Okay. So in 2019, you guys got started with Marie Kondo and then you found out about Organize 365.
Yes. Okay,
tell me about did you say it was 13 biocannons? Seven?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. What was in there? Like, why did you have so much paper?
I homeschooled for 15 years.
Oh, you're a teacher. Well, that explains it right there.
Yeah. we also owned a lot of homes. We were there are short-term rentals and there's long-term rentals. And we at one point had both. Mm-hmm. So anytime you own property, you have to keep all of those mortgages and payments have paid off. And so we had years of that. We moved a lot. Darren was military, so we have military records. And I had a hard time letting go of my kids, you know, first grade stuff and kindergarten stuff. And so we started opening those file cabinets and found a lot of treasures. And those treasures went in boxes and those boxes went to the young adults. And then they had to determine what they were going to do with them. And before we moved, they all determined what to do with their own treasures. So we took a lot of pictures.
What they determined? You have three different kids. Did they have three different ways they processed that paper or?
Yes. Yes. And I won't get into it.
Okay.
Because it's their story.
It's not your paper.
No, it's not my paper. And some of them kept most of it. And some of them looked at it, took a picture and shredded it.
Yep. And that's okay. Like being okay with how people process their own stuff is part of the journey. Like it's not yours. And so you, I'm sure, kept a lot of pictures and everything of what you wanted too. And then you just go ahead and let them deal with it however they want to deal with it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a thing though, isn't it?
It is. Well, and not only that, we probably had two file cabinets that was just full of manuals.
What'd you do with those?
Most of them went away. I have, I would say, half of a binder still of manuals. Okay. But we own multiple properties. Mm-hmm. So
do you have a different binder for each property or are you combining them in one? Okay. Yeah. Oh. That's what I recommend as well. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, the short-term rental one that we have that's 4 hours away from our home, we have, I think I did 14 1099s this year. So we have a lot of people who manage and work on our property. And so that's, you have to keep all of that paperwork.
Right.
And
right.
So I have two binders. I combine the home reference and the home operations into one, and the finance is its own. So short-term rental has two binders.
Okay. And so when you were going through all those file cabinets, you have binders for each property, and then you have binders for how you run your house.
Yes.
And then the kids' memories went to the kids. What did you do with the school stuff that you didn't need because your kids are not homeschooling age anymore? I'm sure that was in there too.
Okay. So the books went in February of, they went in January of 19, and I probably had 200 homeschool books. And I took pictures of them and I posted them on Facebook. And I said, if you want them, they are yours for free. I just want them to go to good homes, but you have to pay the postage.
Great.
So they all went. They all went to people who wanted them.
Great.
And then when we moved in July of 2020, I still had all of the teacher manuals. And we stopped homeschooling in 14. So for 6 years, I kept all that and that's gone. Like, it all got donated, given away. It's all gone. So I don't really have anything left of homeschooling, except we have homeschool scrapbooks.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about your paper now?
Amazing. Like, it brings me such calm. Like, in order, I think I wrote in my, one of the questions was, in February, I had 13 file cabinets, right? Yeah. And so we got it down to like three banker boxes. I just emptied it. And every time I had a chance, I'd pick out, like you say, pick out 10, go through them, put them back in. And eventually I got down to, I had one banker box for rental and one for home. And then I did a paper retreat.
Yes.
And took all of those and put them into binders. It took me a whole day, but I went to the rental. I went to the short-term rental. I was away from my own home, took that and like had all four binders out. And I just pick up a paper and it would go in that binder, pick up a piece of paper and go in that binder. And so I just sorted them all out. And by the end of the weekend, they were all in binders and the banker box was empty. And it was delightful, but I would not have been able to do that without you being able to tell me, give me permission to like throw that and throw that. And I mean, I had bank statements from the time we started certain bank, accounts.
Yeah.
And so it all went away and all of those duplicate checks from, 2010, gone.
Yeah.
Like they're 10 years old. So it was a lot of that kind of old archived paperwork that I had kept that's gone.
But you mentioned in 2019, you went through your whole house after you guys watched the Marie Kondo special. And then you did it again in early 2020, getting ready for those two houses to go on the market for sale. And that you also found Organize 365 about that same time, early 2019, as you started to do the paper. I used to say when I would in-home professionally organize people that we can organize your house, we can organize your paper, we can organize your photos. All of those take the same amount of time and photos can take longer. And I know that people looked at me and they're like, there's no way it's going to take as long to organize my paper as it's going to take you to get this entire house organized. But it always was usually the same dollar amount. Like we would quote how much to organize the house. And then we'd be like, to do your paper is going to cost this much money. And they're like, how possibly? But I hear you talk about like, then you did the retreat, then you did this. So when you think about when you attacked your house in 2019, how much time did it take you to declutter the whole house? And then how much time did it take you to do the paper?
Wow. So we started in January and we were still working in the garage in September of 19. And then in January of 2020, we started the house again. So that was like round one was in 19, round two was in 2020. And then we moved into the house and we decluttered probably another four or five Suburbans full of stuff after we'd already moved, after we had decluttered, after we had done Marie Kondo. Paper, I would say, took 2 years.
Yeah. So it takes the same amount of time, but you don't You don't think it does because it's smaller. Like it's smaller in its footprint, but it's not smaller in the amount of time it takes to process through those. The accumulation of physical stuff and the accumulation of paper both are equal in what they take in order to process them through.
So I've been doing
take up so much space.
Right. So I've been with Organize 365 for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And I would say in that time, I've done 3 rounds of the 100 days, mm-hmm. even though it was an official 100 days. Basically, I went through my right. whole house 3 times. I've done it again another time. And when we unpack the boxes, that was my 3rd time. And now I'm doing the official 100 days, mm-hmm. my 2nd time in 2022. But paper, so the reason paper was an issue and I knew I needed help is Darren, my wonderful husband, would say, I need this receipt.
Yeah.
And I'd get this pit in my stomach of going,
yeah.
great, where am I going to find that in all this paper and these piles that I haven't filed because I hate filing because it's there's no room in 13 files. Right. There's no room. I just wanted to just be sick. You know, I'd be like, yeah. oh, don't ask me that because I don't know. And now I know, like he can ask me for any receipt or anything. And so even a month in with Organize 365, he said, I need this in order to buy the short-term rental house. And I was able to go to one file drawer that I had already started because I knew that was my, like the most urgent. Important papers.
Yeah.
Like the active papers. And I was able to pull out all those papers, hand it to him. He scanned them and we were able to get pre-qualified. Like there was no, sick to your stomach feeling.
Yeah.
And we have since sold a house, sold our house, bought another house and been able to do that without that sick feeling. Mm. And that's why when you said, I need people on Wednesday to come, I was like, well, that's the one thing that I can say is I'm not completely 100% organized and, you know, I still have room to improve. but I would say that helped us to be able to fulfill the dream, my husband's dream of owning House on Water is to being able to get those papers in a timely manner without making me sick and be able to hand that to him for us to be able to do that. And then going forward, I was able to track those papers the Lisa way.
So, okay, I want to go back to the fact that you started organizing your house with mm-hmm. Marie Kondo. Totally makes sense that you wanted to organize 365 to organize the paper because it's two totally different systems and they do go very well together. But then you said you went all access and you've mentioned the 100-day home organization program a couple of times.
Yes.
So what does the 100-day home organization program give you that you didn't get by watching those initial videos of Marie Kondo's? Like, what is the additional learning that you got from Organize 365? Is there any difference?
Oh, definitely. Marie Kondo is all about getting rid of the excess and Organize 365 is how to organize what is left to make it more productive. So when you're in that space or in that task, you can be more effective and more productive in a shorter amount of time. And so that's what I got is learning how to declutter. That's great. But what do you do with what's left? And how do you make that work for your life to make it a better life?
And can you think of like any space in your house where you're like, okay, we got rid of all the stuff. And then specifically, here's how we then organized that and made it more productive.
Everywhere.
okay, good. I can't think of a specific one.
Oh, I would say like, as crazy as this is going to sound, the garage.
Okay.
Like the garage it was always a hot mess. Because it's a 2.5 car garage at the old house with an attic that was full. And, you know, now we have a 3-car garage and we bought those hanging racks. I know it's a podcast and people can't see, but I'm showing that you attach it to the rafters ceiling. And they hang down. And we got the same kind of bins. We got small, medium, and large bins, all the same kind, and then labeled them with index cards and really big. And it would say
travel. So all the travel neck pillows and things you need for travel is up in there. And then the next one was spring. So everything you need for digging up, so we just labeled everything up there and we bought two of them because we have a lot of passion projects. So Darren has a boat. So there's, you know, extra boat seats and he likes to fish and the boys do woodworking. And so we have a lot of tools and but it's all organized and it's all up there. And if we need it, we pull it down, like all of your ratchets and bungee cords, like they're all listed. So if you need that, you pull it down, grab it out, put it back up. I love a garage for that.
Yeah. I was actually just looking at those online the other day. I was like, oh, like our garage is way too small to do that. Like we could not do that in our garage at all. But I was like, oh, that would be so cool to have one of those garage organizers. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who say, oh, it'd be so cool to have an indoor storage unit like I do in my basement, you know, that I can organize my basement. So every storage area is different, but being able to just generally label bins that are all the same, just with index cards, just rudimentary organizing. Oh my gosh. It is so much easier to maintain.
Yes. And well, and everybody can go into the garage and find the things that they want. And it was all four of us. We just would pick up stuff and we'd had all of the bins labeled and we just like things with like things. And it took us a whole day, but we got it organized and they're all there. So I have lots of stories like that, but that's the main one that is still working a year and a half later. So that's awesome.
I love how many of your stories are like, and I think this is because you're a homeschooling family. I would just guess this is probably because you're a homeschooling family. When you say like, I just laid out the bins and then we all went through it by the end of the day, it's all done. And I think, you know, I only homeschooled for a short amount of time, but I'm obsessed with homeschooling in large families. And it just seems to me like probably if you were living communally your entire life and like, oh, we do the school, then we do this, then we do this. When you have a family project, it makes sense that like, oh, okay, this is the project of the day. This is like what we're doing today. Okay. Everybody just kind of jumps in, even though they are adults now. I think a lot of us who had more, not traditional, but more like the broader experience of like somebody went to work and somebody stayed home and some people went to school and then you came home at just certain times. It is a little bit harder. And even when I listen to your story, I'm a little envious in like, I want my whole family to be able to like, oh, like here's the project of the day. Like, just in case you're wondering, over at the Woodruff household, I have a project of the day. I do the project of the day. Like nobody else is doing the project of the day with me. It's just me doing it. And I think a lot of us, when we do organizing, are that way. We're like, okay, we're going to do the garage, but we are going to do the garage. And it's not the royal we, it's actually just, I am going to do the garage. And then I'm going to tell the family at the end how I reorganized the garage. And so I just love hearing in all of your stories how your whole family has really done this whole process over 2 years together. I think it's very unique.
Oh, and I see, I just feel that that's how our family works. When you're homeschooling and you spend, the mom spends the majority of the time prepping and teaching. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't do it all. Like, sorry, we're a family. You have to sweep the floor and I'm sorry, you have to empty the garbage and you dirty the dishes. You have to load the dishes, you know, like it couldn't all be me because then we couldn't homeschool. Mm-hmm. There would be no mom to homeschool because I wouldn't have had that margin. And so I'm one of those that I'm a very visual person. And so if I see something that is not where it's supposed to be, my mind draws a line from that item to where it's supposed to go. And so if things are not where they're supposed to go, I live in a cobweb and I can't function that way. And so I'm like, oh, this has to go there. And so before we homeschooled in the morning at like 7:30, we would just do a general pickup because, you know, people lived in the house. And so I'd be like, okay, we need to pick up and put things away so that mom could walk through the room and not get distracted by something that isn't supposed to be there and could stay on task of teaching three kids at the same time.
I love, I mean, like even as you were talking about taking this thing somewhere. I could see the lines start drawing mm-hmm. on the page as you were talking. And then you said the word cobweb. Like, did you just come up with that on your own? Because I love that analogy.
Oh, I've had that in my head for years. Like I would,
that is so cool.
Yeah. And so I think that's sometimes where we as moms, if our house isn't in order, we live in cobwebs and we can't think because we are constantly seen and
yes.
we can't zone it out. Like, you know, there are some wow. people who can zone that out. If you're a visual yes, or you're a mom who like is surrounded by stuff, you're always going to see that stuff and be like, it needs to go there now.
I am so visual that's why I have a podcast. Like I literally was, I'm watching a video. I'm like noticing everything in there other than what's being said. Like I don't watch TV. I listen to TV. And so Greg and I are watching TV. He's watching, I'm listening, doing a puzzle. And he'll go, where'd that guy come from? And I'll just say where he came from. I have not looked up once. He's like, how do you know? I'm like, I just know because I can listen. But if I am seeing, I am distracted by all the visual things that I see. And that is just such a clear picture to me. Like all I could see now are people just walking through all these cobwebs. In their face, in their house. We're going to quote you on that, Sarah. But we're going to be doing a lot of stuff with cobwebs, I can tell you. The other thing I just want to say is that I would say in the last 5 to 7 years, I have consciously changed my life, my actual life that I'm living to match the internal life that I wanted to be living. So what I mean by that is I hear you telling your story of you and your spouse and you and your kids organizing this house as a whole. And I know that wasn't my story. And I know a lot of people listening are like, how do I get my kids on board? How do I get my spouse on board? How do I make this more of a group effort? And I would say that it is a conscious design. Like Sarah, you and your husband set out to consciously design that your family functions this way today because of you moved as military, which by the way, thank you for your service, moved as a military family. You chose to be a homeschooling family. And so you created like, I'm literally obsessed with people who are traveling the world as homeschooling families. This is another thing that I follow, like these podcasts, like our audio engineer, she has been in an RV for a couple of years now with her family. Like, I just think that is the coolest thing. I always wanted to do that. We never did actually do it. But I remember when Joey was in high school and I was driving him to school and I was frustrated with how much time I was spending in the car. And then I reframed that. I was like, no, I'm so lucky to have this time mm-hmm. with this young boy who is probably going to get married and move away. And Joey and I, we had a fine relationship. I mean, he was my son and everything, but we didn't talk a lot and not the relationship you see today. Like people look at the relationship Joey and I have, and they're like, oh my gosh, that was not an accident. That didn't just happen. I mean, he has always been this loving boy, but I was not a mom that was available for him when he was ready to talk before the time he was maybe 14 or 15 years old. And then I consciously invested 20 hours a week in being available, just being available. Mm-hmm. And then once or twice a week, when he was ready, I was able to be ready also and not be distracted. And so now I traveled with him last year for 6 weeks across the United States. I guess it's kind of like that homeschooling thing that I wanted to do. I just did it with him one-on-one. And then again, with Abby, like that opportunity just did not present itself. It was not, you know, I guess I didn't meet her expectations as the mother that she wanted, you know. But when she got pregnant at the age of 19, all of a sudden, all she wanted to do was spend time with me and talk with me and with the baby. Spend time and talk with me. And now we probably spend 3 hours a day, talking and being together and living life together. And 18 months ago, we spent none. Homeschooling was another great time when I homeschooled her last year and a half of school. Again, we spent, you know, an hour and a half to 3 hours a day in that homeschooling setting, doing a lot of field trips, a lot of exploratory. And I would say that the relationship I have with my kids today was that purposeful time that I spent. And my spouse also, like over the last couple of years, we've changed how we interact and what we do. It is so purposeful. And it all started with me purposefully wanting to have richer, deeper relationships with each member of my individual immediate family. Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening to this and you're like me and you're like, oh, I just want to be like, here's the project of the day and the whole family comes, you can get there, but it is not something that just happens. It's not like this family just is that way and your family is this way. And you can make an impact on your family and change the way that your family interacts. It takes a long time, but it can be done.
It's a teamwork building. And I would say it is very intentional. Mm-hmm. I would also say that whatever your kids are interested in,
yes,
you need to be all in. Yep. All in with them. So when you say mom has a project, they're all in because you've already been all in with them.
That's good.
So but it took 15 years of, you know, each of my kids had their own individual struggles and challenges, and meeting with them at where they were and helping them and feeding into them, you know, is building that purposeful relationship. When all of my kids were wanting to go to youth group, and my husband was like, "Can we do a carpool?" And I'm like, no. And he's like, "Why?" And I'm like, "I want that time. I want that one-on-one time with those kids, because that's the only time that you're one-on-one with them is, and they have lots to share after Bible study, you know, after youth group and their friends, da, 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 you know, and they just talk at you and you're like,
right,
purposeful. Yeah.
Yes.
Intentional.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's really what you've been doing over the last 3 years, is like purposely moving from that phase of being a homeschooling mom to, you know, your what is next, and that transitioning into these adult kids and transitioning into this house on the lake that you've wanted for so long. And some of those things that you couldn't have done 10 years ago, but now it's time to do those.
Yeah. It's interesting. The boys, the young men, they're not really boys.
Yes.
22 and 26. They want to be able to take their friends to the to the house up north. And I'm like, yeah. So when mom needs help painting a bathroom, they're like, yeah, we'll help you, because they, you know, it's a mom project, but they also have a benefit. And so they know that. Mm-hmm. And so we are a team when it comes to doing things around that house and our house. I mean, we're a team.
Yeah. And it's that same concept I have about calling your kids' bedrooms their mini apartments. It gives them that ownership, and then they feel like they have more skin in the game. And it's just how you phrase, a lot of it's how you phrase things and
yes,
how you say it and when you say it and why you say it as much as what you say.
Yeah. And our boys, they pay rent. They pay for their, I mean, they may live in our home, and they do have a large mini apartment. They have their own office. They have their own bathroom, and they have their own large bedroom. And so they do pay rent. So even though they're at home, they're still launched in that way that they still have, they pay all of their own bills, and they pay rent, and they pay their phone and their insurance and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that they're living with us for free. So we're helping to launch them in, you know, even though they live at home, they still have their own mini apartment that they have to maintain. I don't clean those bathrooms. It's their own apartment.
I don't
vacuum. Like, it's your space. It's your rent.
I will buy vacuums though. I bought everybody vacuums. I'm like, here's your vacuum. Stop using mine. And I went from an expensive vacuum to everybody has the same $120 vacuum I can get off of Amazon. And when it burns out, we just order another one. I'm like, yep, reorder. Like, everybody can have vacuums.
Yes. And they're all the same. And
yes,
everybody knows how to use them. Yep. We have the same vacuums up north as we have at our house. So
just makes it easier.
Yes.
What else do you want to share? Like, what's happened as you start on this organizing journey, or has anything unexpected happened?
Oh, well, March of 21, Darren was diagnosed with melanoma skin cancer, and he had a biopsy. It came back as cancerous melanoma, which is a very aggressive skin cancer. And so he had a surgery in March, and then April 15th, Kenny had his accident and spent 16 days in the hospital. He had three surgeries. And then I'm going to lose track of all of this, but basically Darren had another. We waited until Ken was more stable because they missed part of Darren's. They didn't get clear margins on Darren's large surgery. So they had to go back in and do it again. And there were 2.5 weeks where I didn't do my Sunday basket. Like I just couldn't. That just, I could not, like I could do the next thing in front of me. And that was eat, sleep, and take care of Ken and Darren. And then Darren had another surgery in June, the end of May. Kenny had another surgery in June. So we had 6 surgeries in 3 months.
Wow.
With Ken, we set him up with a Sunday basket. And I did my Sunday basket after about 2.5 weeks. And he came from the hospital. And one day I just sat down with all of his stuff that was in his Sunday basket and created 17 slash pockets. And I am just so grateful because without that Sunday basket and being able to know what to do with all those papers, I would have been just sick to my stomach, not at peace, not calm, just a mess. And having that and being able to have a process, of a process of what to do with all that paperwork in the midst of chaos and confusion and grief and hurt and all of the emotions was priceless, like just priceless. And now Ken maintains his own Sunday basket. So, and he was able to go through just recently and be able to say, okay, this is an archive and put it in a binder. And this is archive and put it in a binder. Oh, this is active. And, you know, so if he was able to do that, so that just having those tools was priceless to me at that time. I cannot tell you how important having that tool during that time was to our family. And so that's why I want to tell people, you don't have to have everything perfect, but just have those tools. So when they do happen, and don't feel bad if you miss a week, but don't let it go too long, you know, don't let it go too long, but know that you have a place for all of your stuff. When those chaotic moments happen, we didn't have our medical binder set up. I'd given it to my parents for Christmas because it was more important to get them in their 80s to have a medical binder than it was for us. Cause we were all healthy. And then, you know, 21 was an unhealthy year.
The other thing I hear, especially with Ken, he was 21 when he had his accident, and then you set him up with the Sunday basket. What I hear in that is that you, as the female head of the household, without a Sunday basket, probably would have processed all that paper in whatever way you processed it before. But in having the Sunday basket system and doing it with him, and now him doing it in a short span of time, you've given an early adult child with a huge unexpected life event the autonomy and the authority and the ownership of their own health situation as an adult, which I would think also helped him process the experience and all of the miscellaneous pieces with your support and your guidance and your help, but under his own direction, which I'm thinking there were probably some times last summer where we felt like we weren't in control of very much. And what does this mean for the future and all of these other things? Whereas at least, you know, when you have information that you can act on and that you are in control of and you have ownership of, you're more proactive. Like that act is a proactive act versus just having life react to you and mom's going to take care of it and dad's going to take care of it. And now I'm a child again. Nobody wants to go through any of that paperwork, but I would think that the act of having the ownership of the paperwork and the organizational strength to do it did give some sense of, I don't know.
More independence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, when you have something like that and you're very independent or very dependent on others to do everything. Mm-hmm. Him having that information that he knew what to do with and could control his own schedule and set his appointments and had somewhere to put all of that was good.
And I see that a lot in our community right now with people setting up Sunday baskets for their parents, their moms and dads, and they're posting them on Instagram and they're inside of the community. And some are more reticent than others to actually be doing so. They're begrudgingly doing their, I don't like the Sunday basket, but they're doing it. And again, it's a way for that generation to still be in ownership of their day-to-day life, but all the information is there for their child when and if they need that information too. And the information is being shared. Like if you needed to step in for Ken, you could, but you don't need to. And he has that.
Right. And we bought the financial binder and my husband's leaving. Ken and my husband are leaving on Saturday to go to South Carolina. And they're going to do the financial binder with his dad because he is the executor of his dad's estate. And so they're going to go through that, get it all set. So that I hate the word, but when something happens with dad, we have all of the documentation we need. And that's going to help both of them feel more at peace, more calm. They're both excited about it. And that it's a good step and not a, I don't even know what the word, dread or, you know, morbid.
Well, like, yes, but I think there are many times in your life where you have to be the power of attorney for someone. Like, so that binder is set up for a power of attorney and eventually to settle your estate. And that there are going to be times over the next couple of decades where your husband's going to need to be the power of attorney for his dad in different situations, or will have the ability to be the power of attorney just for convenience. Like Greg was my power of attorney when I was out of town to sign some mortgage paperwork 10 years ago. I have power of attorney for both of our kids in case I would ever need it. Like, so knowing that information does not mean you're preparing for the inevitable always. It's just, sometimes it's just a convenience that there are more people on bank accounts and transfer and death on different properties and things like that. It's just prudent to have things set up correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's filtering out to
I love everyone.
It.
What do you think you have more of now? And what do you think you have less of?
I have less mental clutter.
Ooh, less cobwebs?
Less cobwebs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm, definitely. Definitely. We have a running joke at our house. If people come to me and go, where would I find this? Yes. And I say, have you checked the utility room, which is our laundry room? But we have a laundry room like you have a laundry room that has like cabinets and, you know, shelving and, you know, it has more stuff in it than laundry. And so I patterned my laundry room after yours. And it's now not the laundry room. It's the utility room because it has the mops, the brooms, the batteries, the, you know, the sunscreen. It has the mass. It has everything. The extra cases of water. So it has a lot of things. And so they'll say, where would I find this? And I look at them, they'll go, yeah, where do you think you would find it? And they always go, in the utility room. And I'm like, well, that's probably where you'd find it. And so they go there and they're like, I found it. And I'm like, yeah, because it's in the utility room. So I think just having a central place where everybody knows where certain things are, like where's the extra hammer or the tape measure? It has a place in the utility room. That is huge because mom, all I would do is ask a question, where do you think you would find it? Mm-hmm. And they know where it would go because where would mom put something like that? So that's an improvement or a positive. And then I would say just calm, like the paper has made me more calm because I don't get that pit in my stomach. Yeah. Maybe I was the only one that felt that way. And if someone else feels that way, there's hope. I want to, like, there's hope, but don't give up. Like, if you do your paper for 6 months and it's not there yet, keep going, keep going, keep going. It will get there. It will get there where you like get it all into binders, but don't think that you're going to do it in a weekend. Well, maybe if you only have one file cabinet, you could, but. 16 drawers or 13 drawers.
I don't know. There's so much. There's so much. And is that the advice that you'd give to somebody that's just starting out or what you wish you had known sooner?
I wish I had known sooner about the Sunday basket and about binders. I wish I'd Googled more about it because I probably would have found you sooner. But everything is in its place because I don't know that mentally I was ready to tackle that because that's a big tackle. but I knew that I needed it.
Yeah,
I knew I needed it. So I guess mine is just get started. Don't give up. Keep going. And there is hope.
Yeah. Sarah, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you for letting me be here and spending time with you. I appreciate it. It was so good to see you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.